Welcome to another episode of Happily Everything Disney. I'm your host, Matt. Joining with me is Christina.
Hey, hey.
Mike.
Hello, how are we?
We're doing pretty good. We have a very special episode as we welcome back Scott Gustin, our go-to Disney Parks journalist who brings breaking news better than anyone. Scott, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Yay.
Scott. Has there been some Disney news lately? I mean, it's kind of been all over the place, right?
Yeah, it's wild. I think stuff's happening tonight as we record. So, it's nonstop.
Matt, you're going to have to release this, I think, as soon as
we I know. I'm just going to edit it immediately and publish it.
There's no sleeping when things like this are happening.
Yeah, I think we're a little spared. It's just updates on the job cuts at Disney. Sounds like the bigger cuts are happening next week. So just some details about that are coming out tonight. But yeah, it's always something. It's been a busy couple weeks, busy couple days, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and if you need to pause to break anything, let us know. We'll just pause it and come back. So we totally understand.
Okay, no.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So last November, we had an episode all about 2023 predictions, and we thought it'd be fun to bring Scott back and look to see how we're faring and also see how Scott fared. So, you know, we'll also, after that segment, we'll have a, we'll bring up some hot topics, kind of what everybody's talking about, and we'll see if we're up to making some late 2023 predictions. Does that sound cool with everybody?
Yeah. Maybe 2024 too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
All right.
I love it.
Let's do it. So
it's a little tease here for a discussion later.
All right. I love it. All right. So the first thing we kind of talked about was that the themed after hour parties would return, and you said they would come back. We said that they would come back and they came back. So we were right about that. So give us a little bonus point for that one. The Disney dining plan, we didn't have any bullish predictions about it. And we still don't know anything about it. So Scott did promise us that he would get to the bottom of it by the end of 2023 if we don't have an update. So Scott, you still stand by that?
Yeah, I think I'm at the bottom of it. I just can't quite nail it down, but I think I'm there. But let's table dining plan maybe for our late 2023 and beyond predictions a little bit later.
All right. Awesome. Happily ever after. We kind of predicted May 12th. It came back a little bit early, so I'll give us all credit there. It could have been later in the year, but it came back, you know, relatively in that timetable. So we did pretty good there. Epcot Forever. We thought that'd be the interim show. It was, we were right about that. Park hopping. We thought that it would change. We thought that the 2 p.m. deadline would change to be a little bit more earlier than that. We said maybe it would move to like 1 p.m. What do you guys think? Is that going to kind of hold for the rest of the year?
I have not heard anything about, not a peep about Disney wanting to change park hopping. I do not see park hopping park hopper rules, I guess is a better way to say this. I don't see those going away until park reservations are completely gone. That's probably my safest guess.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to go with Scott there. I'm betting on that one.
It doesn't benefit Disney. And as much as maybe we want it and diehards want it, average guest is really not asking for it based on what I've heard. It's not something that, you know, the headaches of having to go to your first park to get into your second park, like that is a real issue, and that's an issue at the gate every day. I know starting today, APs are able to enter, you know, after 2 p.m. without a park reservation. So like that rule, It is painful for a lot of guests, but the average guest is not looking to go to their next park in most cases before 2 o'clock anyway. So I just don't see Disney prioritizing this until it's just not a rule at all once park reservations are completely gone.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with that. All right. How about the statues becoming permanent? And Disney put out a parks blog that they were going to stick around for a while. So they're not going away now. At some point, I would imagine they probably twinkle away, right? But
yeah, I bet they'll be around through the end of the year. They haven't taken like the 50th logo off of any of the statues, have they? I haven't seen.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that
one. Talk about that. Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, AP sales would return in spring 2023. We were kind of on the money there.
Yeah, I was going to say that's pretty. I would chalk that up as a win.
Yeah, I would agree.
Did we all say that?
I think you said your guess was in February-ish.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm surprised I said spring. I would have said spring. So, yeah, because I was definitely thinking earlier than what we ended up getting.
Yeah,
so.
It's coming back. You think it's going to be sold out? Like,
no, I don't. And I've tried to ask. I know the Disneyland, for people that have just observed that from afar, who are not trying to buy a Disneyland, you know, Magic Key, like myself, you know, that's not something that I own or I've really tried to own. But I'm sure Walt Disney World fans that have just seen all the coverage of it going on sale and selling out, they're suddenly thinking about Walt Disney World annual passes differently than maybe they would have previously. And I mean, the whole stop sale has kind of traumatized all of us. I do not think we're going to see annual passes sell out on like the first day. Walt Disney World as a thing is generally not in the game of doing what Disneyland is willing to do, like disappointing so many people. I don't see Walt Disney World putting these on sale unless they are comfortable with a large number of those passes being sold. Whereas at Disneyland, they're putting them back on sale when people don't renew. Like they're putting them back on sale every couple months. That's filling what they have determined to be their ideal like quota for certain pass levels. The reason some of those sell out in a day is because 5% of their pass holders either have allowed their pass to lapse or they've canceled or not canceled it. They just didn't renew it. Those people fall off. They open it up for new purchases. They fill out or they fill whatever number of passes that they need to get back to where the optimal number of X pass for Disneyland. They fill it. It's been so long since Walt Disney Worlds have been on sale. I just don't see that. I don't see that happening in Florida. Every single person that I've been hearing from in my messages thinks the opposite. So I might be on an island, you know, kind of thinking that. And I'll just say, if I'm wrong, I'll be disappointed, not just because I goofed up my gut call on what will happen, but also a little disappointed in Disney World for making a big announcement for something to go on sale that has the possibility of selling on the first day. Like I think that will be a misstep, but I guess we'll see.
And they kind of have emphasized that they're going to take care of DVC members. And I don't know if that's a DVC sales thing or they're just hearing the complaints of DVC members, but at least it's a good thing. At least they're acknowledging it's an issue.
I think something that's interesting about, yeah, I think what's interesting about that DVC pass is I think what they've done is made it a completely different pass this time. It's not, I think it's a completely different pass type. It is the DVC Sorcerer Pass. It's not the Sorcerer Pass that you have the ability to purchase because you are a DVC member. It's a DVC Sorcerer Pass. And DVC has said that they intend for that pass to stay available even longer than the Sorcerer Pass might stay available. So if they take the Sorcerer Pass off the website, stop new sales in a couple weeks or the first day or whatever, that DVC Sorcerer Pass is going to stay. It's not going to stay indefinitely. There could be times where they take it offline, but I think their intent is to never have to stop sales on that pass again. And by having it be a separate pass type, that allows them the ability to do that. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, and the Sorcerer Pass is only available to Florida residents. So it's most right. of the pass are, except for the Incredipass. All right. Let's see what else we got. So we also said that a new attraction would be greenlit. And we're kind of getting to our bolder predictions from November, but we said a new attraction would be greenlit in Animal Kingdom or Magic Kingdom. And you said that you think we would hear something in the second half of this year. So how are you feeling about that? What's your confidence level? You think we're going to hear something confirmed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we will hear something at Destination D23 or before. I'm 100% certain about
wow.
it.
Wow.
Like,
there was literally no hesitation in your answer there, and I love that.
Yeah.
I'm loving it too.
I mean, there's, I think, significant in terms of like Animal Kingdom, most likely. I mean, I feel like it's 95% chance of being Animal Kingdom and 99% certain that we hear it at Destination or sooner.
Wow.
I mean, it very well could be something they announced this summer, and then Destination is where we find out like the details, where we get to see something, you know. Maybe they don't hold the announcement for that. Maybe they find a way to promote that over the summer. But I am 100% sure that we will get something at that event or before that would be considered significant.
Wow. Awesome. That's what I like to hear.
The Animal Kingdom love we've been waiting for. Oh,
yeah.
I need it.
I hope so.
I hope so.
I don't know. There's so much. There's so many rumors, and we're going to get to some of the rumors about Magic Kingdom. We'll get to that later in the episode, but yeah, that's pretty interesting. The next prediction we had was Star Cruiser Experience would either change or substantial discounts would be coming. We nailed that from the get-go.
Now Matt, you got to tell me when I goofed on something, when I missed on something. Did I have that? Star Cruiser?
You said you agreed that discounts would likely come, and the DVC discounts that we see are a motive. And we're going to see if the DVC discounts are motivating factors. But you did agree that discounts were coming.
Okay. Yeah, man, that's such a weird thing. God, that whole Star Cruiser is just so strange.
Yeah, we can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to offer, to be honest. I'm not the expert on it. I have not been on it. I'm not ever going to go on it. To me, it's just been so fascinating to see something that is so popular amongst the people that have done it. It's so widely praised by actual visitors, to just kind of see Disney mess up at every turn. Like, it's, you know, from the beginning, the promotion of it. And then there's, I've seen a couple stories about, you know, popular cast members that are well known on the Star Cruiser leaving here recently. Of course, they moved to not being open every day, and then the discounts finally came. It's just frustrating, just when they probably could have prevented a lot of that if they had just been more willing to offer discounts in that first year. But they were set in and stubborn about it. And it's just, I feel like everything about Star Cruiser has kind of been like, well, what if they had just done it differently? Like, what if they had promoted it differently? What if they priced it differently? You know, like, everything but the experience itself is like, it just feels like they just missed. And it's kind of frustrating. But to be honest, I don't care about it enough to get too upset about it. There's so many other things about Disney that I'm that I care more about than Star Cruiser, but it is one of those things where I just kind of look at it and it's just like so many things that I would do differently if I was trying to make it successful.
Yeah, I agree. All right. The next one we had was that Epcot surprises us with something significant in terms of announcements of next year. And you said that you think that there's an update or significant change to maybe the Imagination Pavilion would be significant, you know, maybe Spaceship Earth refurb. Like, you kind of went along with us.
Yeah, I would say Imagination Pavilion is more likely than Spaceship Earth. I think, unfortunately, I don't know when that's going to happen. At this point, they're kind of declaring that once Journey of Water is finished, that Epcot is done. And if they're not doing Spaceship Earth now, I'm not really sure when they're going to. But I think Imagination Pavilion would be the next likely thing for Epcot. Probably when we talked then, I would have said that Imagination Pavilion was more likely for Destination D 23. And now I would say Animal Kingdom is probably the more likely, like, big reveal. I mean, maybe we get both. Maybe we get lucky. But, you know, I think it's maybe the Epcot surprise might be that Journey of Water opens earlier than Disney has said. Like, I think we could see it open really soon. I think it's possible that we see it soft open very, very soon. And that we might see the Figment character sooner than we're expecting, possibly this summer too. So I think those might be the surprises, but I think I was hopeful end of last year for Imagination Pavilion to get some attention and maybe a Destination D23 announcement, but I don't know. Epcot's weird. It just seems like they want to be done with it and like get some space and work on some other stuff. And if that's the case, then I don't see Spaceship Earth finding any.
You still have Dreamer's Point and you still have the Comcor, right? And the Mickey's and Friends, or I think that's what it was called, right?
Yeah. And I mean, none of that will be open until we get the new fireworks show later this year, probably October. I'm sure they're shooting for October 1st. But I think we could see Journey of Water open a couple months or more sooner than that.
Scott, let me ask you, I'm going away, going down there in November. You think I'm going to be able to experience Journey when I'm down there, Journey of Water?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think we could see Journey of Water open like in July.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, it's just, if you look at it, it's done. Like, it's almost done. Like, it really is.
Just did our before and after, and I'm thinking about that now because I can't remember exactly what we said.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's no part of me that understands why Disney would be promoting what they're promoting for Journey of Water. Like, they put out a video within the last week or two. Time is very confusing right now. I don't know if it was last week of like the water flowing through the walkthrough attraction. That just feels like a really weird thing to do for something that's not going to open for 4 or 5 months. But, you know, we did see Josh DeMauro riding Tron like what, a year before it opened. So maybe there is precedent there.
We saw a lot of Tron before it opened.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was on like the Christmas Day parade riding Tron like over a year before it opened, which is hilarious. So maybe maybe in my trying to think about that promotion, I'm forgetting all of what Tron has taught us. But I just think that we might see Journey open a little early, even if they do soft open and previews and all that fun stuff over the summer when a walkthrough water attraction actually makes sense. I know it's summer 11 and a half months out of the year in Florida, but still, just seems like if they could open it up, they might. And then I think we might see the, I think we could see our Figment friend middle of summer too. So I don't think they'll wait until like the Epcot is done to trot out Figment. I think he might come out sooner, but we'll see on that.
Matt, what was our before and after date on Figment?
10/31.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely okay. Before.
Christina said before, Mike, you said after. That was ways back though.
Well, I'm excited for you for your trip, Mike. That'll be fun. Yeah, I can't wait definitely. To hear about it when you get to experience before any of us, you know?
And it, like, how are they going to open
Figment
that
is going to be...
Go ahead, Scott.
What's it? I was going to say, Figment's going to be really cool. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be cool. Like,
Figzilla?
This is not like a... No.
Really? Oh, interesting.
I can't flip and wait. Wow. Yeah. I love me some Figment. And I've been perhaps teased a time or two on this very podcast about it, but I love me some Figment. Yeah. I also love me some Moana. So this is very good.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a red bearded individual with a...
I don't know any specifics other than I heard a long time ago, like back around or shortly after Expo, specifically about they're not bringing back Figment the way that we knew him before. And I assume that's what you mean by Figzilla. Like, that's not what's
the giant mascot.
And that's not what, right. It wasn't like said that way in the way that they announced it. It wasn't made clear that that was like, that this is something like new, but I mean, it is like, this is something that will be, unique. Like, it's not something that we've seen before. This is not, you're going back to recreate with the same Figment that you got a picture with your kid, you know, like, in the same way that Woody looks better than he did a couple years ago. Like, I think that's what's coming is a more Figment, because Figzilla was not Figment. Figzilla was Figzilla. He was as close as we could get. But you know, it's going to be fun.
So we're not thinking animatronic, hopefully, like Rogu or something like that.
Nah.
Okay. Nah. Okay. All right. Nah. All right.
That would have been cool.
So excited. Yeah. Oh man.
All right, I'll take
it. So real quick, Matt, I'm sorry. Do you think this will be a Genie Plus kind of like experience too with Figment?
Interesting. Like,
do you think it'll be that popular?
I would bet so. Just because Epcot needs more of those if they're gonna keep moving forward with Genie Plus, it needs more Genie Plus attractions. But I'm not 100% sure where Figment is gonna go. You know, I'm not sure if he's I think I did see a week or so ago, like, some of the characters in the meet and greet space at the end of the ride, they're are moving to other places or they're moving out. I think the character from Wreck-It Ralph, I can't remember.
Vanellope.
Yeah. I think I saw that, like, she's moving out, so I guess that could be where he ends up. And if it's somewhere like that, I guess it could be Genie Plus. I'm just thinking, like, I'm not sure where existing there is, like, infrastructure for there to be a Genie Plus type setup, you know, like, unless they put him in they put Mickey sometimes in the queue for the Pixar shorts. And so that has like a tap that they could use, but I'm just not sure how they could pull it off without building a brand new space for Figment, which might be the plan. I haven't heard anything on that.
What about Journey of Water? I mean, that's it's just a walkthrough. There's no queue there, but I wonder how they're going to open that up. Are they going to have a virtual queue for it? I mean, in the beginning,
I think this is the reason why I think that they want to get this opened for a soft open, because I don't think they know how they're going to manage Like, I really don't, they haven't done anything like this. Like, they have not done anything that is a walkthrough attraction like this that has such a popular character that people are going to come for. Children like are going to come to the Moana thing, no matter what it is or how some people think it's, you know, this, it's not a very exciting attraction. It's still the Moana attraction at Walt Disney World. That's what it will be. And if it's backing up, you know, if you can't walk through it because the line is so long, they're going to have to make some adjustments. So I think that is part of why I really think they're going to try to get this thing open to start testing it out in the same way they did for Tron. I mean, that's a huge reason, or big reason why they did what they did. They had so many weeks of previews and then they soft opened it because they needed to figure out how to manage a virtual queue in Magic Kingdom, the way that where that's located in Tomorrowland. Like, I think there was a lot of logistics that they needed to figure out. And I think this one presents a lot of potential issues for bottleneck in the middle of the park. And just backing up. And I mean, if it's Genie Plus, like, which I think it's going to have to be, like, that's just going to, that's going to make the queue back up. Like, it's going to back up. And where are they going to go? I don't know.
Little ones are going to be like taking their time and soaking it in. And that's, they're going to have to do something to keep the at least walking through, you know?
Yeah.
I could see people like stopping and it's just like a major hold up and becoming a big mess, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is not a one-to-one, but at Disneyland during their Oogie Boogie, has anyone been to that event at California Adventure?
No, unfortunately.
No.
So they have a Redwood Trail. I think that's the name. I may be botching the name of it, but it's Redwood Forest Trail, Redwood Trail in DCA. And they retrofit it for the Oogie Boogie Bash to be like a villain's trail, villain's lair. So it's just a walkthrough trail. They have some different elements in there, like lighting, projection effects,
fog.
It's not a treat trail. Yeah. Like fog. It's not like for trick or treating. It's just walkthrough. And like, sometimes that thing is a true walkthrough. Like the night that I went to Oogie Boogie, which was during the D23 Expo, like it was backed up out on the path. And I mean, it took like 30 minutes to get through it because there's a lot of people doing just like you're saying, they were just stopping and enjoying their time, which is completely understandable. But it completely disrupted what was supposed to be this just walk through very quick experience. Yeah. And, you know, you add Moana to that every day. And I think it's going to be a learning curve for them to figure out how to deal with it. I have confidence that they can pull it off, but I think there's probably people inside Disney saying like, yeah, we might want to see if we can get this finished so we can have a couple extra weeks to really figure out like how to, you know, during the summer, like figure out how to get people through here fairly quickly and not have it backing up into the park.
Either that or they're just saying, well, I mean, we got to wing one of them here or there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I mean, I feel like it's 50-50 on that, you know? Like,
they're going to cowboy through it.
They might.
Cowboy it, yes.
All right. The next one, and this was actually a later topic I had, but we can talk about it now. We said that a parade would change at Magic Kingdom, either and we said this would be the last full year that Festival of Fantasy would run, or we get a nighttime parade in 2024. And Scott, you didn't think either one would happen, but you said that there's a better chance of Festival of Fantasy getting an update. So I did have this as a topic to talk about later. But let's just go right into it. There's some rumors that the electrical parade is going to return to Magic Kingdom. in 2024 or some other nighttime parade, you know, maybe paint the night or a new one or something.
You know, people say the electrical parade will never go away. You know what also won't go away? Night parade, Walt Disney World rumors that do not pan out. Those will not go away either, because those come back just as often as that parade comes back. Disneyland, the same rumors come back for Walt Disney World for night parades, and they never pan out. But please continue, Matt. Please, let's talk about these rumors.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before that, you know, starting in August, right, you have the Halloween party that starts, and you're only going to run those parties, or, you know, you're only going to run the parade 3 nights a week. Same thing with the main fireworks show. And it just creates a lot of logistical issues at the parks. And I know they did it in the times past. I know they did it. Was it 2017 or 2018? Like, they found a way to do it before, but I think it's just different now. Just the parks are busier than ever. And I don't know how that. I don't know how they would pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I do think at some point in the next 50 years, Walt Disney World will get a night parade. Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that. And I'm not completely discounting all the rumors, because I haven't heard anything either way on any parade, anything for Walt Disney World. But I also wasn't hearing anything when other rumors were reported that turned out not to be true. Like, I wasn't hearing anything then, and I'm not hearing anything at all now. Doesn't mean they're not true now. But I just, I don't see, even though things, I feel like Disney is changing a little bit back to the way things used to be, before COVID, they do seem to be reverting to some of the strategies that they had. But I still just don't see Disney signing up for the cost, even if it's just the cost to transport the parade, with all of the logistics issues that come with it, especially a night parade at Magic Kingdom, with all of the after hours events and parties that are coming up. You know, the sweet spot for that parade, we're heading into it right now. You know, like, the Main Street Electrical Parade needs to be like outside the Contemporary on a tractor trailer right now for this to make sense, because they would need it like May to August. And maybe that's what we get next summer. That would be great. As slow as things look like they kind of are right now for summer this year at Walt Disney World, maybe they will be maybe more willing for next summer to say, hey, we don't need to get into a place where things look slow. Let's go ahead and right now commit to something that we think will bring people to Walt Disney World over the summer for next year by saying new parade or, you know, paint the night or Main Street Electrical, whatever it is. But it's just hard for me to see it any time before next, you know, middle of next year. I feel like it makes sense. I just don't know if the rumors are anything more than just trying to do what I just did, which is talk through why it makes sense and less of it actually being of substance. Like, I think it's more of the former than the latter when it comes to the parade stuff.
Yeah. We're going to circle back on this topic. Well, I just have a little bit more on it, but we're going to circle back. It's in the same vein. So we'll talk about it a little bit. So back to more predictions. We kind of started talking about park reservations, and I think you kind of ran with this. And you said park reservations in some format will stick around forever. However, for some people, will go away in the next 12 months. And that was November. And of course, we know that it's being changed effectively. Is it tomorrow or today where APs don't have to make reservations?
It was today. Yeah, as of today, April 18th, APs after 2 o'clock. The only, Walt Disney World can only do it one way because it's just not that simple. It's Monday through Friday, or it's Monday through Friday every park, Saturday and Sundays all parks except for Magic Kingdom. You can enter after 2 o'clock without a park reservation.
Yeah, it kills the double tap thing, which is nice. I'm sure people like that. They don't have to worry about it. Now, yeah. If they have a park reservation for Animal Kingdom for a specific day, can they still at 2 o'clock and they still just go and they decide not to go to Animal Kingdom at all? Can they still go to Epcot at 2 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay. That's yep. pretty cool.
What's fun is think about the way to say this. The way that they're making this work is not that they're not using a park reservation necessarily. If you look at what an AP is doing after 2 o'clock, they're actually redeeming a park reservation that's just been placed on their account when they go after 2 o'clock, is essentially what's happening. So it's not as if there's not a park reservation. There is one. It's just for after 2 o'clock at that park when they scan it.
Do they just have multiple reservations basically, like to every park? Is that behind the scenes? Is that what's...
I'm not sure how it works. This is not from like a behind the scenes view. This is me looking at how they could actually implement this when everything is tied to park reservations. Like everything is linked in with park reservations right now. And so I don't think it's possible that they could take an AP and just make it where it just works after 2 o'clock. It's my guess that when you tap to go in that park at 2 o'clock, that you are essentially assigned a park reservation for that park after 2 o'clock. So, and if that's how it's done, I have no idea. I just don't think that I don't think they've granted like APs the ability to go in any park after 2 o'clock. I think they've just made it where when you tap, the system sees you as having that park reservation for that park. It lets you in. So if you had a park reservation for Epcot or you made one and then you want to go in a different park after 2 o'clock, it's going to take that park that you're at and not make you like go do the tap mess. As long as it's not Magic Kingdom on Saturdays and Sundays. always the asterisk.
I wonder if anyone tested that today. I wonder if after you jump into a park at 3 p.m., if you look at My Disney Experience, if it actually says, you know, you have a park reservation for Magic Kingdom today, even though you didn't have one.
I saw people testing whether you could go in after 2 o'clock, but I did not see anyone that shared, you know, saying like it after they tapped that it showed that they had a park reservation for that day. I did not see that. I'll have to look around and see what people are reporting tomorrow when they're testing that out. But it was good to see people doing it and it worked. People were able to get in the parks. That's a good sign.
Absolutely.
Even though it took them a couple months. Well, it didn't take them a couple months. They waited until after Easter and spring break to make this change intentionally. Because they announced this back in February, like this forever ago. It was really funny yesterday looking at the calendar, realizing that it was the effective date was today for this. And a lot of people just didn't realize that they forgot about it or they thought it had already happened because it was announced so long ago. But it's a good change. We'll take all the good changes.
Do we think anything else is going to change with park reservations the rest of the year? I mean, I can go to Mike and Christina first. I don't. Mike, Christina, you think they're going to make any changes?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think it's a safe bet to say no to that.
Scott?
I think we will see some things potentially change. I think Disney will keep park reservations for annual pass holders at least through the end of this year, at least. I think that's the safest guess. I just can't imagine them opening the floodgates for APs in a couple days here on April 20th for new sales. I can't imagine them doing that without the intention to retain some control over that. So I think that's a pretty safe bet. I do wonder if there's some other way that they've, you know, they rolled back park reservation requirements for one-day tickets, where that's either, it's essentially not required, but what it does is make the park reservation for you when you purchase a one-day ticket. So it's technically making a park reservation, but it's not something that you have to like go do. You don't have to take the action to make the park reservation. I just wonder if there's not some other way that they figure out how to expand that to make it less of a, like an issue for people that just want to buy, they just want to go to the park for a couple of days. They're not APs. They're not worried about, you know, what the park hopper rules are. I just wonder if they might not like find a way to, for those people, make it where they can buy a ticket that doesn't require them to make a park reservation every day. But I don't know. I don't know what that would look like, but it just seems like seeing that the summer does look pretty soft, that they're, you know, that this is typically around this time is typically when they start rolling out some offers. Even if just for the fall. I just wonder if they may not find a way to expand on that one-day ticket rule that allows you to either buy a ticket that doesn't need park reservations or books a park has a park reservation for all four parks. So you can, you know, call it the flexible tourist ticket or something and make it where, you know, you can, or the 2019 pass,
pre-pandemic special.
Yeah. Like the, yeah. Something like that, just to try to entice people to come down summer or fall. But literally no insight on that, but it just feels like it would make sense for them to try that. But I don't know. I think the safest bet is to say no substantial changes, at least through the end of this year.
Darn it, Mike, we got to make park pass reservations for our trips.
I already made mine.
Yeah. All right.
Always that second step. Gotta have that second step. It's annoying.
All right. The next one was the Epcot new show. And we kind of were trying to figure out the timing and it would be for the new finished Epcot. We did. The only thing we know is we got some artwork and we know it's going to be from the Disney songbook, which has sprung a lot of rumors on forums and some to some people, they're not super crazy about that because they're thinking it's going to be IP overload again. And the artwork was, and we talked about this in a couple episodes on our own podcast, the artwork was really odd because it faced Spaceship Earth. It was like, that's not where you would watch a show, I would think, for Epcot. But I don't know. We're very intrigued on what they're going to do. They're going to have to put some equipment out there. I don't think they're going to get away with an Epcot Forever-ish type of show. They're going to need to do more than that. And even though Harmonious had awful daytime's view, it was impressive infrastructure when it all worked. and we're all curious to see what's going to, I mean, and nobody knows anything. There's no rumors about this thing. I mean, people speculated about drones before, and I'm not even seeing that anymore. And there's just no content on it. So we think it's still going to come out in October, November-ish. I mean, I would think it would have to just to draw people.
Yeah, no, I think that's the only guarantee is that it will be out. Like it being linked to Disney 100 will force, and Epcot being linked to Disney 100, it will force the show to come out, I think, end of this year, no matter what. Even if it doesn't end up being, I know you mentioned people have speculated drones. Like even if that is the plan, or was at one point the plan, and they go with the show that doesn't have all of the elements that it's supposed to have, I think they would still have the show premiere this year, even if it didn't have everything that it was originally going to have. Yeah, I mean, I think the framing of Spaceship Earth, I think it's for just a glance, it's the icon for the park. So I think it makes it more clear to casual fan that you're looking at fireworks show at Epcot. So I don't know if it's much more than that. I'm hoping that it resembles them taking into account viewing angles from all over World Showcase, so that it is a good looking show if I'm watching it from everywhere. And not just one place, which was one of the issues with Harmonious, is it really was just one place had the best view, or in some opinions, the only good view, not just best, but the only decent view. I don't have any good rumors for the show, but I feel like something that's interesting in the artwork, and everyone can go look at it, is on the water itself, there are these little lights that don't look like anything that I've ever seen Disney use in their artwork for a fireworks show. Little lights, and they appear to have pyro coming from them. Oh. Almost resembling, like, you know, 24 small pyro launch points on the water. And it's like, if you look at it like that, it could just be artwork and that's how it looks. But if we're looking at it correctly, it's almost as if you've taken the Harmonious barges and flattened them. A lot of the same effects, but just broken them up and made it where they can all be flat. But if those are all pyro launch points, I'm hoping that means the square footage of whatever the show is at least as big as Harmonious was. Cause I feel like for Illuminations, that was always, you know, it was a great show, but it was a small footprint for all of the elements. I'm hoping that this one is maybe saying it's going to take up more of the water, you know, low profile, not ugly as sin during the day, but it maybe takes advantage more of the square footage of the lake and the area to make it a bigger show. So
do they just have to add, "We go on" at the end?
Yeah. I mean, if they want to guarantee that a show will be popular, I don't know if there's ever been an easier slam dunk than just giving the people what they want and put that at the end of the show, you can re-record it. They probably will have to. And if they do, I'm pleading to Epcot fans, be okay with it. If we get the song back and it's re-recorded and it sounds amazing, but it's re-recorded because they've got to, you know, re-license the music and pay the artists and all that fun stuff, like, just be okay with it, because that would be, it would be great. Like,
I feel like we all have a responsibility to behave after this. Like, yeah. we need to appreciate what we have along the way, because like the Disney community has made such a fuss, you know, here and there over these shows and stuff. And it's just like, you know, you're never happy with what you get if we keep complaining, like a parent with their child or something. And we just keep, you know, we never appreciate what we have. So I hope that this knocks it out of the park and everybody's like, yay. And then everyone can be, you know, going back to just normalcy and not screaming about all the different shows.
Yeah. I mean, my quick personal story on that is I loved Happily Ever After. Like, most everyone I've talked to did not, Scott, you know, yeah. Speaking of Slam Dunk, that's a Slam Dunk fireworks show.
Yes.
Did not like Enchantment from the first time I saw it, the preview night. And I only watched it that one time from in front of the castle. I watched it several other times from around Magic Kingdom, but I really only saw it one time in front of the castle was the first night. And I've just never felt so empty like during a fireworks show.
Thank you. Yes.
And then,
yes.
You know, I loved Harmonious. I hated what it did to the Lagoon, but as a show, I really, really did like it. But I was, the daytime impact still made me down on it as a thing. Like, it's,
for sure,
we're all normal people. Like, we're allowed to think that. We're allowed to think this thing
definitely.
for 15 minutes, 20 minutes is a wonderful show, but I hate the rest of the day, like, for what it does. And so
definitely.
I was kind of like to the point where I was like, can I just not enjoy nighttime shows anymore? Like, am I just like broken?
And then, that's what you ask. Yes.
And then I went to Disneyland and saw Wondrous Journeys. And I was like, nope. I'm not the problem, because that was the show does it all. Like, I had the exact same feeling that I had when I saw Happily Ever After for the first time. And it was a really good moment for me just to be like, you know what? Like, these shows are still doing what they're supposed to do. We just had a couple bumps at Walt Disney World for the 50th. I think we're all on the same page, and I say that as not only Disney fans, but I think surveys and average Walt Disney World fans, we're pretty much on the same page for those nighttime shows. But I also had just gotten to the point where I was like, maybe I'm also just like just a curmudgeon now. Like, I'm just sitting there grumping and complaining about every little thing. But then I saw that show and I was like, nope. Nope, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay, and the shows can be better and will be better. So I hope this Epcot show will. But I don't know. The artwork is very curious. I'll say
it is. It is. And what you just said, like, I feel like the consensus, like, was, of course, the barges looked terrible during the day and everything, but there were, what was it? Matt was reading something.
The ratings, Len Testa put them out on WWE.
Yes, yes, that's what it was. Yeah. And you know, it is Harmonious. It was a love show, you know, it's just that the daytime barge view just get, you know, it just got in the way of that and everything. And you took the words out of my mouth with Enchantment, because these guys know, like, I wanted to like it. I really, really did. And then I'm like, I can't even believe this. I just felt so down. But then I was seeing Harmonious for the first time, and I really did enjoy that, you know, at night in its glory. So, yeah, it does show you a little something when you're standing in front of it. But I'm glad you redeemed yourself, Scott. The nighttime love is still there.
Maybe I was worried. I was worried about myself for a little while.
Scott still has a heart.
I mean, seriously, I was kind of thinking that, like, when it came to Disney stuff, like, am I just looking at everything through like a work critical like lens, or can I actually just sit back and enjoy something? And that was when I was like, yes, I can. It's not, you know.
I can love again.
I can love again. I would like a name for this Epcot show.
Yeah. Heart something. Like, I don't know. That's all we saw was a heart, picture of a heart. Harmonious.
It definitely. I know.
I would.
But hold on. You know what's funny? I wasn't thinking, like, seeing the picture, the way that you describe it with, like, I mean, you look at it and you see it, like, you know, you see them, like, come out like that and everything. But the way you described it made me picture something different in my head. And now I'm thinking, like, oh, they could, you know, I have a better mental picture now. So I'm excited to hear
you. And maybe that's water. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, that's what we're...
Yeah, because we really don't know. Yeah, but I like sharing points of view because everybody kind of, like, sees everything a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like what Matt said about, you know, how Spaceship Earth, and then we're saying, well, maybe just to represent Epcot, you know? So
maybe
basically we know everything but know nothing.
Yeah, and we don't have a name. I mean, I need to go back and look, you know, April 18th. Let's say this show premieres October. Let's be hopeful and it premieres October 1st. I think this would be the latest we've ever gone to not know the name of a nighttime show. Like, I don't know how long they waited to announce Enchantment's name. I don't know.
It makes me nervous. I mean, I got to be honest. Yeah. The whole thing makes me nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I was nervous about Tiana's Bayou Adventure until last week when they released more information, when they announced Disneyland's date. I feel a lot better about it now. So I'm hopeful that maybe when they release the Epcot fireworks show name, I'll go from feeling uneasy to feeling better. Maybe we get a name and we get some artwork that's a little bit more substantial.
They're going to start promoting the fall stuff too soon. So maybe we'll get information real soon on that.
I hope so.
All right. Genie Plus. There we go. This is a fun topic. So we let you kind of talk about Genie Plus because we didn't have great predictions about it. Obviously, the modify option became available. Actually, while Christina and I were on our trip, we were able to use the modify option, which was a good win. We liked that change. But you talked about that there was two paths that Disney could take with Genie Plus, and you said we would know better within 2 months. And we could stop there for a second. I mean, do you think we know where Genie Plus is kind of going? Or are we kind of where we're at, right? Which is one of the next things you said is it will evolve beyond the price point. And, you know, we know that the pre-planning element is doesn't seem like that's a thing. Like what's, you know, and Genie Plus did sell out, which was kind of interesting because we kind of thought it wouldn't sell out. Because if it would sell out, that'd be a you know, somewhat of a failure because Disney was trying to curb demand. So where are we with Genie Plus?
Yeah, I think Disney is not sure how to I don't think they like... They're very defensive about Genie Plus at every turn. And I don't really mean any specifics or just in their actions. It seems that they are unsure about raising the price to what it should be. They seem maybe a little too reactionary, like they did over the last couple weeks. They seemed afraid to raise it to the price point that they originally landed on. They had to wait until it sold out one day at like 9:30 in the morning. And then they raised it another $5 the next day. And then it lasted for like 30 more minutes. You know, any normal person would look at that and say like, well, the price should be double what it is. But it's very clear that Disney doesn't want the reaction. What the reaction would be to that, they don't want it. Which I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. And I'm not even saying that that's like a good idea, but I mean, any person would look at that and just say, well, you should be charging more. Like it shouldn't sell out at 9:30 in the morning. Like that's a failure of a product that's supposed to be available to everyone Like, it shouldn't sell out that early. If you want to sell it out to maintain like the quality that the product should provide, like, that's fine, but it shouldn't sell out at 9:30. You know, like, if I make really good cookies and I sell them all by 9 a.m., I've kind of ruined like my whole business plan. Like, I could have sold them for more if I had priced them higher, or I should have made more.
And I love that you picked cookies.
The only thing I can make.
There you go. Good.
But like, you know, if I should charge more for them, or I should figure out how to sell more of them. Disney doesn't seem, I don't think Disney can sell more. Like, the capacity is pretty much maxed out. So, you know, I know that there are tons of different options that Disney could look at. If it's, you know, Matt, you mentioned the pre-planning, like, they could go down that road. They could charge people to pre-plan. Like, if you want Genie Plus Plus and the ability to book your first lightning lane, like, they could do that. And I'm sure that they've considered that type of stuff. Something that I've said, I think I said last time on the podcast, and I still think it makes sense for them to try, is to make it where it's just for a park. Like, I should be able to go to Animal Kingdom and just buy Genie Plus for Animal Kingdom, and it'd be cheaper than the person who wants to buy it and use it all day at a couple different parks. Like, that makes sense in my head. It may not make sense, like, for what Disney wants from the product, but I think it makes sense from if we know what the average guest does, and that's go to one park. Like, you should make it easier for that person to be able to purchase it. But when it's selling out, it's, you know, if you look at Lightning Lane availability for Genie Plus when it sells out, it's selling out because of one park on that day. It's usually either Hollywood Studios or Animal Kingdom. There's nothing left. And so Disney has to sell it out. Not because they could continue selling it at Magic Kingdom, because there's still plenty of Lightning Lane availability, but they got to sell it out for the whole resort, because one of those parks, maybe a couple of them, I don't know what their like trigger is. I have no clue. But whatever the trigger is, it's just not possible for it to be at the same moment at all four parks, I guess is what I'm saying. It's just not possible. So they're missing out and disappointing guests at least one, most likely three parks have guests disappointed that cannot purchase this product because you have reached your, you know, alarm at Animal Kingdom because there's no more lightning lanes available. So you can't sell that anymore. It just doesn't seem like a good way to manage the product, but that's something I've thought for a long time. And I think I pitched the park specific idea before it even launched back in October of 2021. So I'm going to stick with that one.
No, I was going to say, like, Disney's end goal for Genie Plus is it's not just a profit thing, right? I mean, they want people to pay for Genie Plus at a certain price point and have a good experience with it, right? I mean, otherwise they would just charge $50 for it or $75 for it. And I think the adoption rate is important to them. I don't think they want 10% of guests using it, because this gets back to, you know, if you're skipping some type of line, you have the ability to spend money. Otherwise, you're in lines all day. And I'm sure their guest, you know, satisfaction survey results have bared that out, that it's necessary for people to skip lines to feel like they're having a good experience. So what's the end goal? You know, is it adoption rate? Is it profit? Is it?
I think they want to manage both. You know, I think they still, they, they seem to be still going down the path that price can manage all. You know, they haven't rolled out any significant changes, whether it be park specific or, you know, pre-booking like you used to do in the My Magic Plus days. Like, they haven't rolled anything like that out. So it seems like they are still in this mode of, we're going to manage all of it by price, by, you know, doubling the price of Genie Plus over Easter week, and then it dropping back down to, you know, levels that we were seeing before. I think the goal is to give guests that expected experience, which is to be able to pick some specific priorities for their day and experience an expedited experience when they go on those attractions. Like, they still want to be able to give people that ability. But you know, they're not, no matter what people say about Disney and greed and all of that stuff, they're not jacking the price up over Easter because it's a good money-making opportunity. You know, that's not what they're doing. They're trying to make it last past 9:30, which they failed to do that first day, because they didn't raise the price quick enough. That's why they're doing it. They could charge a lot more than they're charging. I do think there's a ceiling that they're quickly approaching, though, especially if they continue, and they still are, telling guests to expect to book two attractions, maybe three, with Genie Plus. Three, yeah. And if you're going to charge $10 to $20 for your individual lightning lanes, I think Tron is $20. Like, you get over $40, and am I paying $20 for each of my Genie Plus lightning lanes? Like, is that what's happening now? If I can only get two attractions, I'm paying $20 for Mad Tea Party and Barnstormer when I could pay $20 just for Tron. Like, there's a ceiling here, based on all of the pricing that they've established. And those individual lightning lanes have gone up and down, but they're not going up at the percentage increases that the Genie Plus service has gone up with crowds. Genie Plus doubled pretty quickly. Like, we're not seeing Rise of the Resistance doubling at the same rate that Genie Plus is. So there is a ceiling there, and I think they're going to have to pull some other levers to offset demand and make sure that experience is maintained for guests that do purchase it.
Just a quick editor's note. Christina had to step away from the podcast, and Mike had some technical challenges, but he does come and help finish the episode. But if you hear me and Scott kind of go on for a while, it was just because we had some technical issues. All right. So there's some hot topics kind of running around on Diz Twitter and social media. And I figured we'd have some fun with some of this. So this year, right, Walt Disney World has Tron and Happily Ever After as like their 2023 promotional bullet points. So what do we think Disney's major draw in 2024 is? And I know we kind of talked about parades earlier, but what are they going to tell people to, you know, check out Epcot? What else though? What's Disney going to point to?
Maybe it's a, like a, maybe 2024 will be the, I mean, maybe we see park reservations go away in 2024, and 2024 ends up being like the return to normal. The problem with that is, so many other businesses have already gone back to normal pre-pandemic, that I don't know if that really sells much, but, maybe it's, you know, 2024 is like the Disney World of old, since they don't, at least right now, we don't know of, outside of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, we don't know of anything that's really slated for 2024. maybe that's the push. It's just, you know, maybe we see him bring back, you know, park hopping. If they cancel park reservations, park hopping returns, maybe they bring back dining plan. Like maybe there's like a whole push to do all of that. And maybe a nighttime parade is part of that too. Like bring back the Main Street Electrical Parade as the signal of like going back to the way things used to be. I feel like it's a terrible idea, but there's not a whole lot new to say that they would pitch. So maybe they'll go back and use that as the selling point.
It's not good. It doesn't sound good. I mean, they're just like, hey, this is kind of like the old days. Like that's not going to do it. Like,
yeah.
You know, are they going to, maybe they'll start to bundle some bubble perks back, like something,
Magical Express.
There you go.
Maybe it comes back.
I mean, Disney, like, dining plan. I don't know. I mean, yeah. will dining plan woo people in the beginning of 2024 to come back?
I think dining plan would get more people to book. I don't know if it's going to get anyone excited. Like that's not going to get anyone excited. It's just going to make it, they bring that back. It'll fill rooms. Absolutely. Free or not, dining room will, there are some people that just don't, that only book vacations when they can have that as an option. You know, they have to pay for everything up front. So there are people right now that are just not going to book a Walt Disney World trip. If they were to reintroduce that, then you would get those people back. But I'm not sure it's like a huge selling point outside of just necessity for some travelers. But I don't know. I think that's the best I have as a not great idea.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, clearly nothing's under construction beyond, you know, Epcot. So it's very interesting. And we did talk about the nighttime parade. So I'll kind of skip over that one. But my next topic was all about virtual queues. So Guardians is still running their virtual queue, which is kind of surprising. I think we both thought that once Tron would open up that Guardians would go to standby. But there is a certain point of time where there's that Epcot After Hours event that starts, I think, in early June, I think, or late May. And I would think at least it'd be standby there, right? I mean, if people want to get on that attraction multiple times, I would think there wouldn't be a virtual queue for it. I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Scott? I mean, is the virtual queue like going to dry up here? Did they just kind of keep it because it was Easter, like Easter weekend, and they needed to keep it around?
I mean, I feel like we missed our window. I mean, Guardians, the new Guardians movie is about to come out, which whether it's, you know, ends up being true or not, I think it has to be true that it will increase the demand for that attraction with the movie coming out. So I just can't see them dropping the virtual queue right before the movie is released. So if they don't do that and you get into summer, like it just feels like September. I don't know. Like maybe.
Is it just here to stay?
Maybe never. I mean, maybe they really like their operations flow for having a virtual queue. It gives Epcot a virtual queue. You know, that allows more people to add Epcot to be out in the park spending money, which we all know that that's like the reason Epcot is successful is because people are spending money at the festivals. Maybe that's seen as the benefit of having it for that attraction, is it gets people out of line and out in the park spending money. And that's a park that has the space. We'll have more space later this year when they take down all the construction walls, but it has the space for people to be standing in line virtually. Whereas like Hollywood Studios does not have as much space for that, for a rise. So maybe that's why it's staying.
Scott, my trip in November, you think it's a safe bet that the virtual queue will be there? I know you said potentially September, but what do you think if you're betting?
I mean, the only reason I'm saying September is because I feel like that would be the next, like, I think summer will be slower than we think summer should be, but it's not going to be like slow. I think September will be the next like true lull. September tends to be some of the slowest periods of the entire year. And I think that's September is when they dropped Rise of the Resistance a couple years ago. But I mean, yeah, I mean, at this point I would say just plan on it being there, because maybe I have zero insight. I really don't know why it's stuck around this long, but I really think there has to be a reason that might be supported by the idea that they just like the way that it works at that park for that attraction. And I don't know, maybe they keep it until Journey of Water. Maybe Journey of Water is a virtual queue, which would be really funny if a walkthrough attraction is a virtual queue. Hmm. But I would, if you're going in November, I would just go ahead and read up on all the tips for how to get a virtual queue.
Yeah.
I think Mike and I are kind of odd, because we like the virtual queues. I mean, to me, like, I have to put out cash for Genie Plus if we want to hit a bunch of rides now in one day. And I have to spend money on an individual Lightning Lane if I want to get on Guardians, or I can do the virtual queue. And the virtual queue to me feels like a free Lightning Lane, right? And I know it's not. I know you're going through the standby queue technically, but it moves pretty quick. It's pretty consistent, you know, 25 minutes to 35 minutes, whatever it is. So I like it, but I think there's a place somewhere for a hybrid, and I'm not smart enough to know how they could pull that off, but maybe the virtual queue runs until 3 p.m. and then the rest of the day standby or something. Because I'm sure they're losing some capacity doing the virtual queue. I'm sure they can get more people on the attraction if it was standby only, or standby and individual Lightning Lane.
Well, Matt, I'm with you too. Like you said with the virtual queue, I know I was real excited with this past trip that we had a couple months ago in January, just my wife and I, and we were able to get boarding group 8. And then in the deluxe hours, we were able to also nab a virtual queue spot. And, you know, what did we do while we waited for our time? Well, we stopped, we got something to eat. We looked at the shops too. We ended up buying a Spirit jersey from, you know, a daughter at one of the shops. So, you know, maybe, you know, there's something to this with the virtual queue. You know, we're trying to figure out what we're doing before we actually have to get to our virtual queue time. So we're spending money elsewhere.
Yeah. That makes a lot of people angry though. I've heard other podcasts and people on the forums, they don't like that concept, especially like annual pass people. They don't want to have to deal with virtual queues, and I get it. But you know, if they want to ride Guardians 5 times in a day, they can't do it at this point. So I understand it.
I just like the freedom, even though it can be a hassle. I just like the freedom of knowing that I can ride something, like you said, ride something more than once.
Right.
Like, that's the only thing I like at that park. I should be able to spend my day waiting in long lines if that's really what I want to do.
Yeah, that's fair. But. All right. How about, this is kind of a new wrinkle that goes through my head. I don't know why, but the holiday parties that are coming, right? The not so scary and very Merry Christmas party. What are they going to do with Tron? Or do we think they're going to have a separate virtual queue for party guests only? This is kind of, you know, a new, they're going into new territory here. So
I don't think so. I think it'll just be standby.
Really? So you think Tron will just be standby?
Yeah. I mean, like, so we're talking about like during party hours.
That's right.
Like hypothetical Halloween party. right, is what we're talking about.
Right.
If people are willing to pay $129 to go stand in line, I think Disney will let them for that party.
That's true.
I know you could say the same thing about a regular day, but like for those parties, I think Disney, because there's, you know, it's fewer people in the park already. Like it's, we're all essentially in a virtual queue for the party with a reduced capacity. I think that they'll just let people ride. So, but just cool. A guess. And it'll be, that's a new wrinkle and a good thought. Something I haven't really thought about, but I think it'll just be, you know, it's open. Come ride.
We might know soon because I think the Halloween party details is coming tomorrow or Thursday. So, but
yeah, maybe the first Halloween party is like next week, I think. So
that's true.
Matt, yeah. Let me ask you really quick. So if they have the Christmas, if you know, you have tickets to the Christmas party, are you going to wait in line for Tron with your family?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, generally for me, you know, for the parties, I don't really care about attractions that much. I'll go on the themed attractions like we did Space Mountain, you know, like the Mad Tea Party or something like that. But we kind of just stick with, you know, just trying to take in the entertainment. So I don't know if I would want to eat in, you know, an hour and a half or an hour of waiting for Tron, but I might. I mean, there might be a sweet spot, maybe a 6 p.m. spot that you could get in line for it. So it'll be really interesting to watch. And we're going to get answers real soon, like Scott said, because the first Halloween party is right around the corner.
Yeah, I think we might get those details this week.
The Halloween party or
yeah.
Yeah.
For Halloween party. Yeah, I think we might get maybe the dates this week.
And we don't think it's going to be a like a Boo Bash thing. It's just going to be the traditional party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only noteworthy thing will be prices. And they'll probably go up. I think the range last year was like 109 to 199. I would think it'll be like 119 to 199. In that range. But I think they said we'll get those this week. We should. It's like the halfway to Halloween promotion they're doing currently. So I think we'll get those, that info this week.
Very cool.
Awesome.
So this was another kind of big topic. Both, you know, Braden of Mickey Views and Jack from DNSY newscast released videos this week of kind of what they thought the Beyond Big Thunder Mountain plan was. And, you know, the one thing that Braden mentioned was, you know, he heard that Frontierland's going to turn into New Orleans Square and we'll have a desert area, that would kind of link, you know, Big Thunder Mountain and Kanto, Coco and the Villain's Land ultimately kind of, but that's kind of more on the side of Haunted Mansion. And then, you know, Jack kind of went through some of the permits and looked at viable land and kind of showed where the three lands can exist, but he didn't have the Frontier Land to New Orleans Square arrangement. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, I've never been to Disneyland. I know Mike has, you know, New Orleans Square, something that's kind of new to me. You know, how do you guys think that would fit in Disney World? And how do you think people would feel about getting rid of Frontierland?
Mike, you go first.
So I think that, you know, your purists are going to they're going to be very upset when it comes to that, obviously. I mean, for me, you know, I've had a lot of fond memories with Frontierland, you know, with, you know, obviously Big Thunder and Splash Mountain and everything out there. I'm okay with the change. I think, especially if it leads to this potential ginormous expansion, I think it's definitely something that, for me, I'm always embracing the change that they have in the park. It might not always be the, you know, the most popular decision or anything, but at least they're trying something different and I'm okay with it. I think, Matt, when you, I think you text me that, I'm actually excited for this potential idea if it does come to fruition. But, you know, we'll see. I'm hopeful for it.
Yeah, I like New Orleans Square at Disneyland. It's a very well-themed, charming part of a charming park. I don't buy it in that magic. And I'm not saying that, you know, Mickey views that Braden is incorrect. That's not what I'm saying. I just don't buy it as a concept, completely, but I'm also not a creative person. So I have trouble seeing things sometimes. It's just like the New Orleans Square at Disneyland it surrounds you with that. And this, I don't think it would, you know, it's just kind of like a New Orleans themed strip mall type setup. The way that it goes there and leads up to Tiana's. Obviously, if Disney went in this route, they would do a much better job of making it work than the way it's working in my brain when I try to think about this. I don't necessarily think it's a terrible idea. I'm having trouble really picturing how that suddenly becomes New Orleans. It also kind of, and I could be wild here, Matt, Mike, please keep me honest, but they've gone through a lot of trouble to convince us that Splash Mountain is the salt mound. And,
right.
You know, and then we're going to build like classic New Orleans right beside it. I don't know how that's that much better than just not doing that. Like, I don't know how I look left, I see New Orleans. I look right, I see Salt Mound, which is in rural parts of Louisiana. You know, like it seems like there's been a lot of effort. They've gone to a lot of effort to convince us that that is a salt mound. And then to just build classic New Orleans Square Mardi Gras right over beside it. I don't know. Like, it's not that it doesn't. There are plenty of weird things that are next to each other in lands across parks at Walt Disney World. And it kind of works. So this could work. I'm just not 100% seeing it. Now, Pecos Bills as Tiana's restaurant. You know, I don't think I've really talked about this a lot because it wasn't something I was able to get on, you know, as concrete as I was able to get the information about Tiana's when it was going to Disneyland, which I was first to report back in September of last year before Disney made it official a few months later. But, you know, I was told that Walt Disney World is getting Tiana's also.
Wow.
But on less firm, concrete information. It was a done deal for Disneyland. It was not so much for Walt Disney World, but it was right. It was good information for Disneyland. I think it's good information for Disney World too. But at this point, that was a long time ago. Things could have changed. You never know. But having had that conversation with people who know the project, the whole Splash Mountain, Tiana's Bayou Adventure project, you know, I feel pretty good about the idea that Disney World at least wants to put in a restaurant as part of the Tiana's Bayou Adventure, you know, retheme in that whole area in the park. So I think Pecos Bills make sense, but I wouldn't say that that's like a slam dunk for what is going to happen to that restaurant. It certainly, everything lines up for that to be what it would be. And I think everyone was kind of already making these connections, connecting the dots. I think Blog Mickey was kind of the person who spotted Imagineers checking out Pecos Bills a couple months ago. So everything lines up, but I think it's quite a task to make this work as an area or a land, whatever they end up doing. And I think both are possible.
Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, we just got pretty good tidbits on Tiana's Bayou Adventure too recently with the dozens of animatronics, which silenced a lot of naysayers. I guess they thought the attraction was going to be a bunch of screens, and I'm sure there'll be some screens in there too. You know, some original songs returning potentially and new music and the original actors and actresses kind of reprising the roles. So all those things that came out and you were kind of alluding to earlier, I think they sound very positive. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I was not before that news was shared. I was not excited. I was excited originally. And then with every bit of news, my excitement level went down. That turned it for me. I just felt like with every update that we got, it seemed they were going further and further down this road that it was suddenly becoming a Louisiana attraction and not a Tiana's attraction. And I personally am not excited about riding a Louisiana attraction. If you wanted to do that, just leave Tiana out of it and do a real Louisiana attraction that you don't have to retrofit to fit Tiana. But this was always pitched to be a Tiana attraction. And I felt like they were suddenly trying to say like, no, it's just, you know, it's a salt mound. They changed that story and it just felt like, you know, Tiana starting her own restaurant. And then suddenly we're looking at a Tiana that no one's going to recognize. It's a Tiana that we don't know. There was at one point where we didn't even know if we were going to get like music from the film in the attraction. And thankfully this blog post mentioned that we will hear songs that we know from the film. And in addition to some new original music. So like everything in that blog post, I feel like is what Disney needed to say. And it was at that point, it was pretty obvious that they had held back a lot of those things to announce at the same time that they provided Splash's closure date. They wanted to have all of those, you know, good tidbits to offset what might be disappointment for people that wanted to, you know, Splash to stick around. So I think it ultimately ended up being the right move. It was a little painful for me personally, having to digest and try to understand all of the backstory details for the queue. I mean, it's just a lot of that stuff just goes right over the guest's head. And it's, I love that they have it. Me, I love it. But I try to think about average guests a lot. And none of that will ever enter their frame to know that a lot of the things that they were talking about in the queue just didn't really sound that interesting, to be honest. Just didn't sound that interesting. But now that I know that, it sounds like that will really just be for the queue and the ride itself will be closer to what we were originally promised and what's been discussed, than I felt like everything made sense then. But before that, I was pretty confused.
It's funny when you posted that image of Mama Odie, people were enraged that it wasn't an animatronic. And then you confirmed pretty quickly that it was an animatronic. And then people was like, oh, I guess that's it. And they said dozens. Now, I don't know how many that means. I mean, I would think 24 at the least, but it's just funny how kind of the ebbs and flows. There's people kind of want to react more negative towards this attraction makeover. And I think we got to give it a chance.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter is the place for pessimism and on every topic. But yeah, they were, I wish I had asked that question before people kind of had to point it out about Mama Odie being an animatronic, because I saw the image and I knew it was an animatronic, but I was looking at the image from the, based on the framing of the news that they were putting out in the story. Like I can see how some people look at that and not think that it looks like an animatronic, but if you read the story, the mention of the animatronics, the dozens of animatronics, and the overall feel of that story, you know, they wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure someone can prove me wrong, but I don't know. Have we ever received artwork of a screen? Like, has that ever happened in the history of artwork that's been released by Disney?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's a
good maybe. Point. Like, you know, like I guess the artwork for like Flight of Passage, if we released some teaser, which I don't even remember if we did, if we released a teaser frame from the movie that was on the screen. But have we ever received artwork of a guest looking at a screen? Maybe the whatever the water slide is that's on the cruise ship. Like, I guess that might be something. Like, but you know. I get why people saw it and thought that, but I did not think that. And I wish I had just clarified that before I even shared the photo. But yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be an important moment in the ride, in the story too, at that moment. And then I don't think Disney said in the blog post, but I was told last year that this seems like a no-brainer, but I don't think Disney has said it. You know, there are multiple Tiana animatronics. So I saw some speculation that it's just like, oh, the dozens of animatronics are just going to be these critters, like that are just barely moving around different scenes, and then all the main characters are going to be on screens. Like, that is not what I was told at all. So I think we can get a little excited that this should be really cool. And I think they're holding back unveiling, you know, an early look at Tiana until Destination D23 later this year.
Do you think that the way that they're doing construction, you know, it looks like they're shifting to Disneyland, obviously, May 30th is the last date, right, for Splash Mountain at Disneyland? Does that sound right? May 30th?
That does, yeah. Now, I think it's that's the last day to ride, I think.
Yes.
And then I think it's officially closed on the 31st.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're picking up steam on it. I mean, they originally said late 2024. I mean, you know, maybe they can somehow sneak this, you know, in the summer or something like that a little bit quicker. You know, and they can include that as a promotion for sure if it's that early.
Yeah, I think if they're going to open it at Disneyland by the end of 2024, then I think it's going to have to open at Walt Disney World by late summer. I guess it's possible, you know, I think there is a lot of the work is being done by a single crew. And if they're finishing work at Walt Disney World and then moving to Disneyland at some point, I don't know when that might be. I don't even know if that's the way it's actually going to operate. But if that's happening, one would assume that Walt Disney World would have to get to the point where it could open before Disneyland. You know, it's possible they could just keep them both and open them same day, both coasts. They're there would be reason to think that that would be something that Disney would want to do, given the kind of the purpose of this retheme, and to not have it where one coast gets it before the other. So it does, you know, it is possible that they could, you know, get Walt Disney World to a certain point and then they go work on Disneyland, and then they still kind of both open at the same time. But I think late last 3 months of next year still feels pretty aggressive for the timeline, in my opinion. But maybe we'll get a surprise. I've seen others speculating that it's ahead of schedule. I don't use those words with Disney. So except for Journey of Water. That's
there you go.
But I think it's behind schedule. I think it's just ahead of the date that they gave us. So we'll see.
So do you think D23 we get all of our answers here? Do you think we understand if there's a retrofit happening at World? Do we know that, you know, what the future of Frontierland and if they're actually going to expand at Big Thunder Mountain? You think all those answers come at D23 or before?
I don't think they'll hold everything. I think I've mentioned several things for D23. So I guess I should say, like, some of that stuff might come out over the summer. And maybe it's, like we said earlier, maybe it's announced before. And then something is announced over the summer, and then we actually get the details or the artwork at Expo, or an additional deeper look at it. I don't think they can save all of this stuff for that Destination D23. But, you know, it seems like if they're going to build a Tiana's restaurant and have it open at Walt Disney World close to the opening of the ride, they've got to start that work pretty soon. So I can't imagine, if that's going to happen, them waiting until Destination. As far as like all the other Frontierland and beyond Big Thunder, I don't know. I don't think we're going to hear, unless we get news about Tiana's, and part of that, they have to like say, you know, we're expanding, New Orleans is expanding into the frontier or something silly like that. I don't see them, you know, going even like 10% of the way on what that video, the Mickey Views video that you were talking about earlier. I don't see him going even 10% of the way that video went. I mean, but it feels like that. That's like a 15-year plan is what I saw. Right. I mean, that's not like that's like a decade or more of work. If it's even like real or part of their plan, and maybe it truly is the blue sky, like hope of WDI to be able to do all of that. But even if that's the case, even a WDI that's probably very ambitious would be realistic and say like, yeah, that would take us like, you know, over 10 years to finish. I think we could get some stuff over this. I think we could get some announcements over the summer, but I anticipate that they'll hold a lot of the good stuff for that Destination D23.
And you're feeling like it's more likely.
It's called Destination D. I think it's called Destination D, not Destination D23. But the D23 Destination event in Florida.
Right. So you're more confident that a new attraction announcement is going to happen for Animal Kingdom than Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do we think it's what we potentially saw with the blue sky? Because that artwork was pretty developed, the Moana.
I do. Yep. I don't think there'll be any huge surprises.
Right. And they're sticking Moana there for a meet and greet, which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that's the plan. you know, like, I think it's a smart, it is strange to have the Epcot Moana attraction open and then possibly the very next thing they announce is another Moana attraction. Like, that is a bit ironic. I know there were some rumors about Zootopia. Maybe they do just pick one of those ideas and they settle on just, instead of giving the whole thing that was shown as far as Blue Sky, they just pick one of those and they start with that, you know. But all of it gets me excited because Animal Kingdom, I think Animal Kingdom needs it, and that area really needs it. That is a really sad area of Walt Disney World for a few reasons. Most of it just, they haven't kept up the dinosaur attraction. It just seems like they're waiting around, and at some point, like, we got to do something here.
Yeah, I'm only at Animal Kingdom a half a day every time I go for my long trips. It's sad. You know, I would like to dedicate a full day, but it's just not enough there for us.
Which, I know, like, that makes Disney parks, like, super fans, Diz Twitter, like, they're usually very defensive of, like, Animal Kingdom, but, like, majority of people are that, like, they are there for the morning. Like, they're for the morning, and they're moving on. Like, there's just not enough for your typical, like, average theme park visitor. It's just not enough for them to see and do there. You know, there are things I love in Animal Kingdom. I can spend a full day there, but, like, I'm not giving up anything when I do that. Like, the average once in a lifetime Walt Disney World visitor is. They're giving up all of that time that they could be spending at Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom. Like, that trade-off, average guest is not making that with the current iteration of Animal Kingdom. They want to do Flight of Passage. They want to do Everest. They want to do the Safari. And then they want to get out. And, you know, you got to figure out how to expand that park and make it more of a destination and not just a tap in to be able to park hop later in the day.
I mean, you never hear people say, I have a 5-day trip and I'm going to spend 2 days in Animal Kingdom. Like, that's just not a thing. I mean, as much as you like Animal Kingdom, you know, like, I love Animal Kingdom. I really do, but I can never justify it over a second day of Magic Kingdom or Epcot or just from the rides themselves, Hollywood. It's a shame because it is a great park, but it's missing a few things to steal that space from the other parks.
Nope, totally agree. I mean, you have to really think about this. You got to just remove, like, personal bias on it and just try to think about average guest. Doesn't mean it's a trash park. It's just, it's not average guest park outside of those things that we talked about. And they need to figure out, that doesn't mean you have to put average guest attractions in there. You just need to put more. You need to put more, like, headliner destination attractions, like Flight of Passage. Like, that is a destination. You have to go to that park to experience that. Like, that's what I tell people who go. You need to find a way to get to Animal Kingdom to make sure you ride that. Like, it shouldn't be that, you know. I'm not saying that about Magic Kingdom for any attraction in there, because there's a bunch of good ones that you gotta ride at Magic Kingdom. So I think for all of those reasons, they need to just declare that the Animal Kingdom Blue Sky project is the priority, and then, honestly, I'm okay with whatever they figure out. Based on what they've shown us so far, I'm good with any of it.
Yeah, and improve the nighttime vibe. I mean, because there's just nothing there. It looks absolutely cool, but it's just, there's not enough to woo you to stay there.
Yeah, they tried to do the nighttime by leaning into nighttime, if that makes sense. Like they did the nighttime safari, the Pandora, like they did all these things to give incentive to be there at night without actually adding anything to do. Like they, Rivers of Light show, which was not a must see. They did the nighttime safari, which I could do during the day. Like I don't need to see it at night. Like it's, I can do it during the day. You know, it's not right. Fireworks. Like fireworks, I can only do at night. So there was nothing about the nighttime safari that was special because I can just do the same thing during the day and it's better. They did the Pandora, you know, like, so they did all these things to like say you should be here at night, but they didn't actually like add anything for people to do to incentivize people staying late. So like, that's what I hope that they are trying to do is give people things and reasons to stay and not just like lights, you know, like that was the fail in that strategy. It's kind of like you have a room and you want people to come at night. So you put up lights. Well, yes, now it is illuminated and it was dark and now it's lit. And this is the only time I get to see these lights on because this room is dark and the lights are on, but there's nothing in here to do. And that was kind of what Animal Kingdom was. And give them more attractions and people will stay. Longer.
Do they have a spot they can do the Osborne lights type thing? I mean, I'm sure they don't, but I mean, maybe that'd be something they could lure people for critting around the holidays. I don't know.
You know, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they
or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they've considered like everything. I mean, Christmas lights on Dinoland would be. I would pay money to see that. That would be fun. It would make no sense whatsoever, but I would love it.
I might stay the entire day, man, if that's the case.
Dino Light. I mean, that just the name sells it. So
I love it. I might make that the episode title.
Dino Lights. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Next. So we've heard a lot of grumbles that the bookings are soft, right? I mean, and we're seeing them with the percentage discounts they're handing out. They didn't do that for a couple years running. They're finally back. Like, are they going to bring back like a bubble perk? Like, are they going to, there was that, you know, that 60-day fast pass thing that people loved, right? It gave them a leg up. There was Magical Express. There was, you know, resort delivery, things like that. You know, like, are they going to bring something like that back? They had the extra magic hours, right? That, you know, right now it's just a half an hour for guests and then obviously the deluxe extended evening hours. But do you think that's a thing? Do you think the bubble perks are just dead?
I don't think the bubble perks are dead. I think we may not see them return until next year. Like some of those returned, like we talked about, like the return to normal idea. Like I think they maybe save those for when people start booking their trips for next year. Like I don't think resort extra hours is going to sell someone on coming this summer necessarily. Like some of those bubble perks, like I think that would sell someone on booking their trip for next year. Same thing. Like they're not bringing back. I really don't see any scenario where they bring back Magical Express, but like that would be, or we talked about, you know, I do think it's likely they bring back Dining Plan. Like all of those things would get someone to book a 2024. I'm not sure it would get someone to book like a summer trip. So if bookings are as soft as we've heard, I think the way that they get people to come for the summer is they got to find out. I mean, they're making it cheaper. I think we may see more of that. And I think we'll see them potentially add better discounts for APs to get them come, get them to come during the hot months, hot couple of months here for Florida death summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, I'm glad this is not my job, is trying to figure out which levers to pull for enticing people to come down for Florida summer, because it's a tough sell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I try to avoid there.
Yeah, I mean, same here. We strictly will not go to Florida in the summertime. We did been there, done that, and the humidity, not our thing.
All right. I mean, the only other thing I have here is, you know, we got some Star Wars announcements where it looks like there's going to be some new Star Tours experiences next year based on locations, new locations that we visited. And I guess the good news about it for me is I'm glad Star Tours is going to stick around. There's always the rumors that they're going to repurpose it or eliminate it or something. But so I'm happy to hear about that, that they're going to add. You know, I kind of thought that they were going to add something sooner than that, than 2024, but it sounds like they have some storylines kind of earmarked for it. Any thoughts about Star Tours at all? I mean,
no, I mean, it's got to be The Mandalorian, I'm sure, but those updates need to happen more frequently than they are. So I'm glad they're doing it. Whenever it actually happens. But yeah, I think they should update that attraction a lot more than they are. And I would love to see an update to Smuggler's Run, too.
Like, oh, that'd be great.
But I know he's not with the company anymore, but the former CEO, Mr. Bob Chapek, his big idea was always this, like, you know, empty box attraction, something that could change quickly, you know, it could change overnight. It was like his whole
seasonal
thing for the parks. Yeah. Like, see, like whatever it needed to be, it could be, which is the idea that like a non-creative person like myself would come up with, where it's just like, here's a box, go do something in there. Yeah. And now you could do something different. And he always talked about that idea. And I'm like, there are those types of attractions now. Like there are, like, it's not as easy to change Smuggler's Run, but it's pretty easy. Like with the right funding, they could absolutely give that a new story. Like, how is that not already one of those attractions? Same thing for Star Tours. Like, they could change those as much as they want. We saw what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, like, for Christmas, even though it was not well received. What they do with the tower at Disneyland, like, just seems like Disney's going to have to do more of those types of things and be a little bit more flexible and not take, you know, and I think they announced their intentions to change Star Tours like 2 years ago, and now it's going to be next year. It's just too long. Like, they should have changed it in the meantime, and then they change it again by the time they're going to change it just the first time. Or the first time since they've announced it. I know we're on the second version of Star Tours, but like, we should have already gone through a change in the time it's going to take to get to that first one. But I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan in general, so I don't have any strong opinions on anything as it pertains to Galaxy's Edge, except I wish they would just have more fun with that whole IP and not always. I feel like anytime I try to talk about it, someone tells me that that wouldn't work, that it would violate all these rules. So I'm always just like, all right, never mind. You know,
well, I mean,
just,
Star Tours has no rules. I mean, I could understand Smuggler's Run. You know, they got Hondo there or whatever it is, and they have a storyline that they're trying to follow. Still, it shouldn't be that hard to put a new mission on there. Like, that's it doesn't seem that complicated. But Star Tours, that's like an open canvas. There's no excuse. It's not even in Galaxy's Edge. So yep. I don't know why they can't be a little bit more fluid with that for sure.
It can be a new story with the same characters. Like, just,
I know,
you know, like for Smuggler's Run, like, keep everything in your precious canon, and but just give us a different story. Like, there's, I know, that can't be the only mission to run in that attraction. There's got to be another one. I mean, I heard there is. They just didn't finish it, and it's like sitting half done. So
yeah.
I guess there's just not, they don't see the return on the cost to introduce that second story. I don't know, but I get frustrated talking about Star Wars in the parks because I feel like it always comes with, there's so many rules, and you know, I'm very transparent that I do not know all the many stories that are Star Wars, all the animated stories that go with it. I don't know all of it, so I don't try to speak to it a ton, but I get so frustrated because I feel like Disney has no creative flexibility to ever do anything fun with it because you're always breaking some rule. But a rant for another day.
Yeah. We always talked about Toy Story Mania, like that needs a little undue play run too,
yeah,
you know, at some point, but maybe with Toy Story 5 or 6 or whatever the heck's coming out, you know.
They need Toy Story 5 to finance the redo of Midway Mania.
There we go.
I mean, they told us that they were gonna add games, and basically all they changed it with Toy Story 3. Like, they introduced some of the Toy Story 3 characters, but I think they've only updated it once, I think.
Yeah.
Can't remember now. But yeah, I mean, that could definitely use an update. But as long as the weights are still over some threshold, I think they just have difficulty justifying spending money on it, which is a bummer.
Yeah, you're right. No incentive.
Yep.
All right. So I think we talked about everything in my list. You know, we can go, I know we're running pretty late here. And so if we need to disconnect, that's fine. But if you want to keep going, if there's any other predictions you want to get out there, we're all ears.
I think we've talked about, like, I think we've talked about almost everything. I don't think DVC is a super big interest to casual theme park fan, but I mean, the Disney Vacation Club, Disneyland Villas Resort information came out today. It's pretty interesting to see how they are treating it a little bit differently than other DVC resorts. Whereas you have to pay for parking each night, you have to pay your hotel tax at checkout, which only happens at Aulani. So it's a little bit of a shift for DVC. I think we're going to see more of that going forward. DVC just kind of testing their limits a little bit to see how far they can push people, which is fascinating. But I think that story is going to play out over the next couple of years.
Plus, it has the resale restriction that Riviera has as well.
Yeah, which is
not popular.
It's not popular, and it just doesn't seem, it's just like something Disney doesn't really have to do, in my opinion. But no, I think we've talked about pretty much everything. I'm interested to see what, I think by the time, I think at the end of 2023, we're going to know what the future is for park reservations, for like park hopping, like all of these little things that were introduced during COVID. I think we're going to know like what the future of those is, whether it's essentially the way things are now, the new status quo, or are those things going away? I think we will know by the end of this year. And have some closure on some of these things as we go into 2024, the fifth year after COVID-19, which is wild to think about. No, I think I'm good.
All right. Awesome. You want to do a quick lightning round? We'll go real quick with some before and afters that we did since the last time.
Yeah.
All right. So Splash Mountain at Disneyland, we had July 4th. Obviously we got the verdict for that one. So that's May 30th. Journey of Water inspired Moana opens 10/31/2023. Before or after?
Definitely before.
All right. The Hatbox Ghost Animatronic at Haunted Mansion, September 1st, 2023.
It better be before. I mean, the movie.
Maybe we
comes
get that
out
with the Halloween party.
I was hoping we would begin that with the movie. Movie comes out this summer. I can't remember the month.
Yeah, is it July or August? I'm thinking July.
Yeah, I think it's July.
I don't know though.
But I mean, if they don't introduce that with the movie, what are we doing? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it better be there for. It better be before.
Yeah, July 28th.
Yeah, I'm gonna say July 28th or sooner. Like, if not, that's ridiculous.
Bon Voyage Adventure Breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno. We had May 29, 2023. Now, we aired that a few weeks ago, so it's only 41 days away. But if you want to go after, give me another date.
I don't even know. I'll say August 15.
All right. Rock and Roller reopening. We had July 31st. Obviously, that's closed for refurbishment.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good guess, or right around there. I'll say before.
All right. The Mirabelle meet and greet, September 15th.
I thought they announced a date for that. Have they not?
I think.
Or no, they just said later this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, like, I think it was like coming this fall or something like that.
So ridiculous that it's taken this long.
And that's the she's replacing Merida, right?
Yeah. I would say before. I'll say before.
All right. 1900 Park Fair. We know, like, the Grand Floridians got refurbishment, all that stuff. August 1st.
I'll say after.
Oh, I have one new one. This is not that fun, but we'll go for it anyway. When is, and this is a good question for travel agents, when does Walt Disney World flip their calendar and open up the 2024 packages? I have June 15th, and you guys can take before or after. Now, if you both go before or both go after, you got to duke it out. We got to change the date.
Mike?
I'd say before.
Yeah, it's going to be before.
All right. Well, let's go. How about June 1st? Both go before still?
I'd say before. Yep. How about May 15th?
Yeah, that's probably. That's a good one. I'll say after.
Okay. I'll say before.
Nice. Yeah, I say after. I think it's going to be closer to June, but we'll see. They usually release it in June.
I'm going to take, I think it's the last, I think it very easily could be that date or like a few days on either side of it. But I think the last 2 weeks of May is my guess, but just a total guess. I think going into Memorial Day, like they'll want to start the hype train. But
yeah, whatever they're promoting for 2024.
Yep.
Would be interesting.
Whatever that pitch is going to be very interesting.
The dining plan's back.
Yeah. I mean, that would give them time to figure out how to do it. make sure they have enough employees and cast, you know, cast to actually support what the dining plan brings. But I mean, I don't know. If they could bring it back this summer, that might be a good pitch to help with the soft bookings potentially.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I don't think that they could turn it that quickly, and all the signs of other offers, like they did a dining promo card earlier this year, I think it was pretty well received. I would bet that we would continue to see those, like at least for this year. But I don't know. Maybe they finally pulled the dining plan lever. That would certainly surprise a lot of people if they did it for the summer. But I think I would put my money on next year. Late this year, next year would be my bet.
I like your theory that it's somewhat related to past park reservations. Like you can't have, you know, park reservations and the dining plan coexist. You know, you need that flexibility. So we'll have to, yep, have to file that one. All right. I know we went way too long. Scott, how can everybody like find you?
Just find me on Twitter if it still works. Find me
Are
there.
Are you still blue? Are you still verified?
I don't know. Let me see.
I think you are.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, you are.
When is he, I muted Elon like weeks ago because I just.
I haven't seen anything either recently.
I don't see, like, I couldn't take the, I was okay when it was like he was providing platform updates, and then he turned into like just commenting like looks cool and like awesome, like on all kinds of random just like memes. And I'm like, this is not, I don't want this. Like, not even anything like political. I just don't need like a one word, we'll check on this. Like that's, what is this? So I muted him a while ago, so I don't even know what's going on with the verified stuff. But no, it's still there for now. So, yep. And if it goes away, find me as the non-blue check Scott Gustin on there. I'll still be on there until the site crashes and burns. That's where I'll be.
Scott, thanks again so much for joining us. I know we went really long. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I mean, your insight and your logic with everything is awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, maybe we can have you back in November for some 2024 stuff if you're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have to have a pre Destination D23 discussion so we can talk about what's going to happen. That's in September. What they're going to announce then. That'll be exciting. So, yeah.
All definitely. Right.
I love it. Set it up.
That sounds like a plan. We're in.
Sounds
Absolutely.
Good.
All right, Scott. Thanks again. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Take care.
You bet. Thanks.
And that wraps up another episode of Happily Everything Disney. Thanks.